And welcome. Happy Wednesday night, everyone. This is the D1 Baseball Weekend Preview. It's week 11. I'm your host, Michael Patrick Rooney. We've got two distinguished guests. We've got the man that they call El Cabeza de Puntunda. I butchered that, but in Spanish, that also means Stitchhead. And Stitches, I think it's Puntada, but whatever. You just got to let it rip. Stitches is a Californian by nature, but he's also kind of in parts unknown tonight, as we will talk about in a second. It's hard to keep up with the guy. He's got his own jet. We are also joined by a man that was rumored to be the former deputy commissioner of Worcester County, Mass., also the New England area. Pure rumors, but this is the great Aaron Fitt. Gentlemen, good evening. Happy Wednesday, week 11. How we doing?
Good, man. Thanks for having us in, man. We're privileged to be on your show.
This is the Michael Patrick show, and I got to tell you, you never look better, Runes, with that bucket hat you got going.
Seriously. I mean, you know, hashtag company guy. Like, you know, the merch is for sale, and we're not afraid to model it. So, Stitch, I've never seen you in a bucket hat. That's not really your thing, huh?
No, I've had them before, actually, but it kind of became your trademark, so I kind of backed off on that a little bit.
Seriously, give me my space. I like that.
It's also why I considered getting a hair implant, but I was like, no, I don't want to step on Aaron Fitt's hair.
No, that's good. Yeah,
stay in your lane.
That's right. That's good. That's what we call plus feel, Stitch, right there. Just let
there you go.
Yeah, you're being a good teammate. So, all right, boys. Since we got a little bit of a later start, let's jump in here. What we're going to do, we're each going to pick five series. I wrote down 25 series, but I'm going to try and pull myself back on that. So, Stitch, because you are the very special guest, your instructions are going to be different.
Okay.
You are basically, when it comes to college baseball, you're the only man who has seen Bigfoot, is basically what's happened.
That's
Fairfield
right.
is undefeated. You're the only living, breathing human that's seen them play, as far as I know. And as you give us your five picks tonight, each of those picks is going to be accompanied by an adult beverage of choice, because you also are our czar of adult beverages at D1 Baseball. And you are going to be the czar of Fairfield Baseball. You're going to give us one observation from what you saw at Fairfield, since, again, you have seen Bigfoot. So those are your instructions. Fitzy, you're going to be the director of credibility tonight. You're going to take over for David Seifert. So you're going to give us just five good college baseball series. And then I'm going to spin out of control. I don't know where I'm going.
I feel like you're making me be the straight man. I don't like that, Roots. I like to be the clown.
You can go. Hey, that's the one thing about the IG Live. There are no rules. We can do whatever we want. So you can be whatever man you want. Stitch, so you're up first. So give us an observation on the Fairfield Stags, your pick, and the adult beverage that goes with it.
Okay, well, yeah. First, as far as the Stags go, I kind of came up with an interesting nugget that this is the first time in the history of the RPI that a team from the Northeast is in the top 10 in the month of May. Now, I know we're not exactly in May yet. We still have, 3 days? But let's assume that they'll probably still be in the top 10. So this is going to be kind of remarkable that I know the RPI is all freaked out this year, and especially with the MAC, or as we say up here, the MAC is you know, only playing conference games, so it kind of skews everything. But it's still kind of neat to think about that they're the first team in the history of the RPI that is actually from the Northeast that is going to be in the top 10 coming in the month of May. So there you go. And my first series of the week, coming up, Louisville at Clemson is my pick. The reason I choose is because it's interesting. I know you guys have talked about Louisville plenty of times before about being a host, being their RPI being kind of crappy, and now it's in the 40s, was in the 50s and 60s, which is where my musical taste is most of the time too. And so, but now they're going to go up against Clemson, who's kind of fighting for their lives. They're in the 60 range for the RPI. But the kind of interesting thing is that Louisville, the remainder of their schedule, I mean, Clemson, Florida State, and Duke, none of those teams are really going to help them a lot. They play Miami the final weekend of the ACC, which is, you know, Miami's in the top 20 of the RPI. So it's going to be interesting to see. They need to win, and they need to win, and they need to put up some maybe some squeaks, especially this weekend against Clemson. That's kind of why I think this one's so interesting coming up this weekend. And by the way, the first adult beverage for the week, since we're talking about Louisville, I'm going to go with the mint julep. I mean, come on, you have to. That's what they drink at the Kentucky Derby, which is right across the street from Patterson Stadium in Louisville. So even though the series is down in Clemson, it's the mint julep going for the first Louisville and Clemson series.
I like it. Never had a mint julep. Never been to the Kentucky Derby. On the bucket list. Either of you guys been to the Derby?
I've been to the Preakness. My wife, you know, got at the time my girlfriend, and she got all dressed up in this like fancy Kentucky Derby dress, like she thought it was going to be this swanky affair. And then we're sitting in the infield, and it's just like complete mud everywhere, and it's just you know, people slamming, you know, Bush Light, and it's just not at all what she thought she was signing up for. Let's just put it that way.
Fitzy, I've been to the Preakness a couple times too, and it's exactly what you just described. It's Jersey Shore with horses running in a circle around the Jersey Shore. It's really that. And so, yes, Fitzy, you're up. Take us where you like.
Well, I saw a request in the comments for Vandy in Florida, and I'm going to start there. This is a series that I feel like I tend to cover every year. This will be the first year in a while I haven't covered it, just staying local a little bit more this year. But you know, I think this is quietly one of the best rivalries in college baseball. Maybe it's not so quiet nowadays, but like when you think about traditional rivalries, right, in college sports, I mean, you know, in baseball, maybe you think of South Carolina and Clemson, and, you know, you think of, I don't know, a whole bunch of other ones before you think of Vanderbilt and Florida. But these two teams, it's always intense when they get together. I mean, look at what they've done over the last 15 years. I mean, they're the two best programs in college baseball, you know, for, I would say, over that span. I mean, just as far as the consistency and the talent levels. And they're coached by a couple of guys who used to coach together at Clemson. They kind of have, you know, similar energy to them. And it's always, always a fun series. And now you've got, you know, Florida, they need this to try to host a regional. They're at home. They've been trying to figure out what formula works on the mound. You know, I like now they're starting Franco Alamont. He was really good in that starting role last week. You know, Mace and Leftwich has been moving around. Mace is back starting again. I mean, I feel like they're still trying to figure it out as we head into May, which is a little bit weird. But Vanderbilt's still trying to find out who the heck their third starter is. As good as Vanderbilt is, it's like they haven't had a third guy. And so, you know, we still have some, as good as these teams are, as talented as they are, we still have a lot of questions that we need to see answered as we head into the final month.
Yeah, that was a really fun discussion. Who is the team of the decade, Vandy or Florida? Really, it's do you like Omaha's? Do you like multiple national titles? That was a fun discussion. Fitzy, I'm going to play off of your rivalry comment. So Oklahoma plays Oklahoma State in Bedlam this weekend. I actually have the Sunday game, which will be a blast.
Oh, beautiful.
And so, you know, like OU is one of those teams like Arizona State where, gosh dang it, if they could have played 2020 out. I mean, just really that they reeked of an Omaha team last year, really struggled in the rotation this year. Oklahoma State is a team, they're 3-9 against Texas Tech, TCU, Texas, and Vandy. But I think they easily could have been 6-6, 8-4. I mean, they were in every game. And now they've, by necessity, had to make a pitching change where Nolan McLean, their two-way freshman who's on a football quarterback scholarship, is going to be the closer and the starting second baseman. Brett Stanley's going to the rotation. I think long-term, it's going to be a real positive for them. And then if they can get Parker Scott healthy and Justin Robleski back, but Bedlam's, you know, Oklahoma is a great college baseball state. They love college baseball. It's a great baseball state. And so I'm excited for that. I'll give you guys another sneaky West Coast rivalry. Grand Canyon plays Sacramento State this weekend. And to me, that's the WAC bid. They're going to play each other in Ho'okam in the tournament. They had this epic, you know, go to the final pitch of the final game in the WAC tournament in 2019. I just think this is a preview of what you're going to get all over. Another thing that's really cool is Grand Canyon in their fall session, they did everything around the WAC tournament. They created three teams and did a WAC tournament. They just want their dudes, their guys, thinking all about, hey, if we want to achieve our dreams, we got to win the WAC tournament, so we're going to prepare that way. Really cool. So there's that one. And then how about Virginia at Virginia Tech, guys? Virginia's playing for their postseason lives. Virginia Tech is having a great season. They've never finished ahead of Virginia in the ACC. I think that's going to be a really fun series as well. So there you go. I'm going to try and go rapid fire on those.
I'd like to bust in for a second, though. Think please. About this, you guys. The way we're at, we're almost in May now, and think about like in the preseason, you're getting, you know, kind of jumping back to Vanderbilt and Florida. We were thinking Vanderbilt and Florida would be like number one against number two or something. It's kind of weird how things have played out, and Florida's down at what, number 30 RPI wise. Okay, that's a little weird. They're better than that, but it's just kind of weird how that's turned out, and Vanderbilt's not even in the top, or they're actually at number three in the RPI. So they've kind of held up their end of the bargain. So I think that's kind of an interesting facet about that series this weekend.
Amen. Well said. Stitch, number two. Give me a thought on Fairfield. You can take this wherever you want. You're a veteran person of interviews, so I'll ask a question. You can Mike Martin me and just answer however you like. You're in the same classification as 11. So my question is, when you think of Fairfield, what player or part of their team stands out the most? What is the loudest part of that team, player or position group?
I'll say this. It's got to be the offense. In a normal year, they're going to go down to the South and play a bunch of ACC and SEC teams and probably get the crap kicked out of them and then start playing better as the conference comes around. Well, this year, it's just the conference. And so they're not facing as good a pitching. However, you still have to respect the fact that they have two guys in the top 10 of the national stats in batting average, Mike Caruso and Mike Handel. It's the Mike and Mike show, I like to call it. And they're hitting .439 and .421 respectively, number four, number nine in the country.
That'll work.
Again, they're playing against teams that are not as strong, but they're also playing against teams that know them really well, and they still can't stop them. The teams can't stop Fairfield. So that's kind of the interesting. I'll give that one as the
well done
nugget. Yeah,
so. You didn't even Mike Martin me either, Stitch. Well done. But you just keep that in your back pocket.
Okay.
Your series? What are you going
my
with?
My next series is I'm going to still go with some of the blue bloods. Oregon State at UCLA. Kind of weird how this one is. Kind of like with Vanderbilt in Florida. You know, we kind of expected UCLA to be a little bit higher up this time of year. And it's not quite happened for them. Both teams have over a dozen losses. RPIs are still okay. What do I have? 26 and 35. But I think UCLA kind of needs this one a little bit more. They've lost three of the last four weekend series in Pac-12 play. So I kind of think they need more. They're at home, so we'll see if that happens. But the drink that I go with that is going to be Sauvignon Blanc wine, because UCLA is close to a very good California wine country. And I know Aaron enjoys a good pour once in a while. So
a that's good pour.
Be, you know, that's going to be their drink, because you can't exactly have them with a Pabst Blue Ribbon, because they're not a Pabst Blue Ribbon type of team. So I'll go with Sauvignon Blanc.
Savvy B. By the way, hashtag a good pour. Thank you for that, Stitch. That was
done. Hell yeah.
Oh. Fitzy, that was excellent.
That was pretty good. Guys, for my next one, I'm going to go to Stitchhead Country. And I didn't see this on your list, so I hope I'm not stealing it from you. But how about San Diego Gonzaga this weekend? West Coast Conference showdown. These two teams are both in position, I think, to be at large teams. And I think Gonzaga deserves a little bit more run as a potential host. I mean, the season that they've had. Mm-hmm. You know, they won that series at TCU on the road. They split a four-game series on the road at Dallas Baptist. And, you know, they're really running through their league pretty well. But this is a big weekend. I think if they win this series at home against, you know, the other kind of top team in the WCC, then you can kind of look at Gonzaga as you know, with 1 week left before, 1 or 2 weeks left before host sites are announced, they got a real shot at it. And conversely, you know, if San Diego goes up there and wins that series on the road, they're really shore up their at-large credentials. So I do think the Toreros, I mean, you kind of think of this as maybe more of an offensive team, but I think the starting pitching is pretty good, you know, with Jake Miller and Connor Thurman those first couple of days. I think they got a fighting chance up there. It's a very good pitching and defense Gonzaga team. And I also want to throw this out there, guys. I've got a drink to go along with this matchup.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Durham's own Star Point Brewery. It's called Surfin' Buddha.
Nice.
And I don't think they named it after Rich Hill, but you know, you never know. So I just thought I'd give that a plug also. Starpoint Brewing. Kind of
Rich Hill is he's a surfing Buddha. He's a surfer clearly, and he is very philosophical. He's always been a deep thinker.
Absolutely. And he's got the bald head too. He'd fit right in on this show.
Yes, yep. He would. Yes, yep. He would. Absolutely. Yes, very proud bald head. Fellas, I'm going to give you two from the Big Ten. I think the Big Ten is a really well-coached league. I think there are other reasons why the Big Ten flies under the radar at times. It's not because of talent and coaching or even facilities. I mean, if I was going to blame anybody, I'd probably blame the conference itself. But I'm going to stay positive. But so we've got two really good series. Rutgers, by the way, Steve Owens, I've said this a million times. If he can't win at Rutgers, then I don't even know what to make of life on earth anymore. Like, this guy wins everywhere. He could win in Saskatchewan. This guy can just coach. And Rutgers is doing it. They're 14-13. They're going to Nebraska, the Fightin' Will Bolts. Nebraska's having an incredible season. And then also, speaking of guys that can really coach, Rick Heller at Iowa, 18-11. Iowa is 18-11. It's like they always do this. They're just kind of hanging around. And if you keep them in the fight, you will regret it. And Iowa is in the fight, and they're going to go to Indiana, who's 18-8. So the Big Ten is, they're kind of like on this island playing their games. But there's some really good players and teams there. And these are two really good matchups.
Yeah. I think if you don't mind me stepping in here, Aaron,
please.
It seems like it means a little bit more for Indiana going to Iowa. I know we're not looking at RPI because it's a little weird. It's like,
or a lot weird.
Yeah, it's the drunk uncle at Thanksgiving. But if you look at it, they're in second place, tied for second with Michigan. Their RPI is a little bit in the 100. It's triple digits, but that's going to be an interesting series. And I kind of look for Indiana kind of maybe being coming out with a little bit more purpose. But what a great series. And it's also kind of a tribute to both of those teams. Just like most of the Big Ten has really improved their facilities, their coaching hires and all that. And these two teams have, like the guys, Rick Heller, you mentioned, just great coach. And I'm looking forward to seeing how that one turns out. I might have to commission my Learjet that I stole to go there.
Stolen Learjet.
Yeah.
I will interject this, just a quick tangent about the RPI. For those leagues, the MAC and the Big Ten, that don't play anybody outside of their conference, like zero games against non-conference opponents, the RPI is literally worthless. It is literally worthless. You have to have cross-pollination in order for the RPI to mean anything as a means of comparing. You might as well compare, the Kendall Rogers 10U Snow Leopards against LSU, because it doesn't mean anything if you've got no cross-pollination with the schedule. So I don't care what your RPI is if you're a Big Ten team. All that matters is your record and, how you did against, I think, the other top teams in the league. That matters. Yeah. But we don't need the RPI to tell us that. We can just look at head-to-head results.
Good point. Yep.
By the way, this particular episode of the D1 Baseball IG Live is actually ranked number one in the RPI because – you two have dropped things like a good pour, the drunk uncle at Thanksgiving, cross pollination, and the snow leopards ate you. Like, I don't think anyone can take us down from
that's
here.
That's some turn of phrase there, isn't it?
That's some turn of phrase. Baseball.
Would we have been hired if we didn't come up with these crack shot phrases? Oh, hell no.
Hell no. No way. I am so intoxicated by all of these turns of phrase that I don't even know what order we're in. Stitch, are you up?
Yeah, I'm up next. And I'll give you another Fairfield fact. This is the one I love. I'm going to do Tony Kornheiser. I'm going to go to the glasses on this one. So
Tony K.
Fairfield is number four in the guy. I talked about the Mike and Mike show. Mike Handel. Being two of the top 10, Fairfield is hitting .327 as a team, fourth in the country, but they're holding opponents to .198. And so, again, it's kind of like, they're not playing top-notch competition, but at least they're dominating. That's kind of the thing that you got to kind of – at least they are dominating, and again, they've won every time out. So that's my next factoid. The next series I'm going to go to is the one that Aaron actually kind of brought up a little while ago, Towson playing at Northeastern. Northeastern – another one of those kind of northern teams flying under the radar. They're in the mid-40s of the RPI. you know, if you look at the history of Northeastern, they're always good pitching. This year, they're hitting in the 292 range, and they got guys that can hit home runs. So kind of the offense, I'm looking forward to seeing what that'll look like on Friday out there at Friedman Diamond. But so Northeastern and Towson, the other thing, the other facet is Northeastern's got a lot of RPI anchors with their remaining schedule. In fact, I'm looking at it. They got Hofstra and Delaware. Both of them are in the upper 150s. So they're going to have to win because, yeah, that's going to be an anchor for their RPI ranking no matter what. If they lose a couple games, it's going to be kind of tough. Unfortunately, yeah, that's not really fair, but that's kind of how it is for mid-majors. And, my drink for the Northeastern against Towson. Aaron will appreciate this. Narragansett beer.
There you go.
That's a beer from up here in the Northeast, so that's going to be my pour for that one. There you go.
Stitch, I don't know if I talked to you about this, but I did tell the listeners in the preview that you would give us a quick review of the beers of Switzerland. So hopefully that you're saving that for later.
Crap. All right, hang on. I gotta go online for a little bit. Hang on.
Yeah. No, you're good. The preview is all lies. Don't make an honest person out of us.
Okay, good.
Yeah, don't do that. Go ahead.
That Northeastern team, by the way, is very interesting. I mean, there are some real arms there, you know, Kyle Murphy and Sebastian Keane and, you know, some guys with real stuff. But also Brandon Dufault can light up a radar gun. I don't know if I think he's healthy right now. But also, I mean, Jared Dupere is a very intriguing power speed guy in center field who's having a really big year for him. And you got some nice kind of just winning college baseball, but I think that team is very dangerous if they can get themselves into a regional.
So enjoy that series. And you know your stuff when it comes to the Huskies. The other thing I was going to point out is not only do they always pitch it well, and they're doing that again this year, but they're also 980 plus in fielding. Mm. So that'll win you a lot of games right there.
That's incredible up there to field 980. Really amazing. Yeah. Mike Glavine can coach now. Like that is, they're good every year. Like they're competitive every single year. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Fitzy.
So, this weekend, I am hoping to attend the Charlotte Old Dominion rematch up in North.
Love it.
Which is, this is a top 25 showdown in Conference USA for the second week in a row. They played four times last week. Charlotte won three of them. And then Charlotte went ahead and won an extra inning midweeker at North Carolina. So, it's, you know, they're rolling a little bit right now. We've got them as a regional host. Talked a lot about, you know, the quality of the arms with Bryce McGowan and Andrew Lindsay and, Matt Brooks, I think, threw a complete game in a 7-inning game in the series finale and Austin Morosis and Christian Lothes. I mean, they got a lot of legitimate arms, but also I think maybe, you know, the offense has been overlooked some because Austin Knight, the Tennessee transfer, had a huge year. He's just kind of filling up the box score and all kinds
huge
of
huge year.
Yeah, I mean, big time. For a while, they were without Dominic Pilalli and David McKay. Really, I think they're maybe the two most talented hitters, maybe even more than Knight. Those guys are back now, and I just think that's actually a pretty formidable offense. But, you know, ODU is a balanced club, and, you know, you're coming back home. You really, you know, if I guess they didn't even submit a bid to host a regional, as I understand it, so they're not really playing to host, but they're playing to shore up their at-large credentials and to try to win the league. And they're good, you know, and I haven't seen them. I didn't see them in the fall. Really excited to get an in-person look at Hunter Gregory. And, I did see Kyle Battle and Tommy Ball, a couple of their position guys last summer in the Coastal Plain League. I like those guys, but there's a bunch of pieces here that I'm looking forward to seeing. So it's going to be a fun series up there.
Yeah, the Conference USA renaissance. I love it. All right, I'll give you guys – Oh, go ahead.
Let me interject, Stitch, if you don't mind, Mike.
Please.
Aaron, have you been to the new stadium, a relatively new stadium that they built in Charlotte?
I've been to the one in Charlotte. This weekend is there's the stage shifts to Norfolk, so it's my first
time. To Norfolk. Okay, my bad. You're right. But they did build a really nice facility that could host regionals then, yeah?
Yeah, they could definitely host there. I mean, I think they probably would have to bring in some auxiliary seating, well, depending on the capacity for who knows in COVID era. It's a nice little setting there.
Good.
I like it. All right, so I'm going to give you a couple SEC series. I got Kentucky at Tennessee. That feels like it should be named after some version of bourbon. Those are two states that take a lot of pride in their whiskey.
Right. The Bourbon Barrel series, that's right.
Yeah, but I think for the Vols, you know, kind of getting that chip back on their shoulder, they did drop a game to A&M even though they won the series. And then Kentucky, you know, just every week Kentucky's playing for their postseason lives. That's just kind of what their season is right now. Every weekend is super critical. It just feels like they've been riding the fence for at least a month, probably for longer than that. I'm also going to give you LSU at Arkansas, or Arkansas at LSU. It would be so LSU to win that series. I mean, under Palmieri, every time we're really down on LSU under Palmieri, they pull something out of their hat. Those guys play hard. Their young talent is really substantial. And this was interesting. I have a Jim Schlossnagel game. I have a TCU game this weekend. So, you know, Schloss has been to Omaha five times, which really stands out amongst active coaches. There's only three coaches that have been to more Omahas. Palmieri's been to six. Mm-hmm. Sully has been to seven. Mm-hmm. DVH has been to eight. And, I mean, you think about that. That's super elite company, because all of the coaches that have been double-digit times are gone, you know.
Yeah. Just,
that era is over now, and so – it's Palmieri's been to six Omahas. I feel like he doesn't get enough credit for that. It's really incredible. But
does that count for one at Notre Dame?
Yes, five at LSU and one at Notre Dame. And I'll give you guys one more in the American. So Houston is playing Tulane. I don't think Tulane can hang with ECU long term, but they're hanging with them right now. And so Houston, even though their record is bad, they're very dangerous. And Tulane is hot as a pistol. So it's, you know, I'm just really curious to see how long can Tulane stay hot, and can they push ECU, who, ECU is really good. Like, that's a more complete team, as you've chronicled, Fitzy, but Tulane is just in fuego right now. So, but they, you know, again, the thing about Tulane, though, is if you want to stay with ECU, you got no room for error, because ECU is just a machine in that league right now. So
ECU's got a good test, though, on the road at Wichita this weekend. Mm-hmm. I know Wichita has kind of stumbled the last week or two, but still a team that had been making some waves. And, you know, ECU coming off a split at home against UCF, it's a big weekend for them to get back up and kind of reassert their dominance in that league.
Yep, no question.
Yeah, I'll kind of throw this out to you, Mike. Going back a little bit, it's always funny to see, like, probably every other year out of the last 10 years about this time, well, maybe like a little earlier, like mid-April, you'll see a bunch of LSU fans calling for Palmieri's hide, telling him to get out of town, you know, hanging him in effigy and all that. And then he comes back and wins 21 of the last 25, including going to the championship game of the SEC tournament. So that's kind of what we're almost, as you were saying, almost expecting to see, because they've been such a, you know, in some ways, at times, they've been a three-legged dog this year, you know, losing to Oral Roberts 2 out of 3, you know, losing to Air Force in opening weekend. But then they always seem to kind of put it together at this time of year. As Coach Maneri once told me, it's this time of year when he needs to kind of be put on his Superman uniform and kind of lead them back, you know, be a superhuman. And that's what they've done so many times before, much to the chagrin of the people who want to fire him for having a bad first part of the season.
Yeah, it's a tough. That's a when you follow a guy that won 5 national championships in 10 years, that is not setting a good, reasonable expectation for the fan base. That was not Skip is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Stitch, number 4 for you.
Okay, this one it's kind of, again, kind of due to RPI and a northern team, but I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Wright State is at number 13 in the RPI right now. And this is a team. Now, this is a program we've seen them win a lot of stuff in the NCAA tournament. Gary the Deer was in the dugout a few years.
That's right. That was excellent. Lady,
which was one of the greatest things ever. And so they're at number 13. In that scenario, shouldn't they be in a chance to host the regional? But we'll see. But yeah, now they're playing IPFW, a team number 276 in the RPI.
Yikes.
Again, just like I talked about with Northeastern and Fairfield. Well, not Fairfield as much, but it's kind of an RPI anchor to play some of these conference teams, even though they could have such a great, they have such a great team. And they have like a couple of guys hitting 370 plus for Wright State. But here's the interesting thing, you guys, they're playing IPFW, which has one of the best mascots in the country, the Mastodons.
Yeah.
I love that. So since they're playing IPFW, Runes, you're going to love this. My drink of choice for that is the Rail Splitter IPA.
Nice. And
there is a Rail Splitter IPA. I think it's made in Indiana. It might even. So there's your drink of choice for that one. But yeah, interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on on a lot of these northern teams that have really good RPIs and see how good or bad it turns out for them this weekend.
So, Stitch, I don't know if you've followed up on this, but University of Central Arkansas denied our request to change their mascot from the Bears to the Rail Splitters. They remain the Bears. So the only Rail Splitters in our life are the Lincoln High Rail Splitters from the great Philadelphia area. So that's all. That's, yeah.
There yep. you go.
That's all we got.
I like it.
Go Splitters.
Go Splitters.
Fitzy?
Go Splitters. Hey, I saw a comment in the chat about South Carolina, asking about South Carolina. So I'm going to go there next. South Carolina at Ole Miss. Big series this weekend for the hosting picture. You know, I think right now we've still got South Carolina as a host. We squeezed Ole Miss out of a host spot. But if the Rebels take 2 out of 3 at home this weekend, you could see those two flipping. I will say that, you know, I was in Columbia last week for that Arkansas series. And I walked away, you know, liking South Carolina's club. And their pitching stands out in a year where not many teams have actual, you know, 3 workhorse starters in the rotation. I mean, how many teams out there can you think of off the top of your head that have 3 guys that you can kind of say, all right, like this guy's got swing and miss stuff and he can give me 6 innings every weekend, like 3 of them. I mean, there's Mississippi State, I guess. South Carolina, even Vandy doesn't have a 3rd guy. You know, Arkansas has had the best season of anybody. They haven't even had 1 guy for a lot of the season. Now you've maybe got 2 with Peyton Paulette and Patrick Wicklander. But seriously, they were doing it without reliable starting pitching for the first 9 weeks.
It's
insane what they've done. I mean, for my money, Arkansas, I'm going on a tangent, but Arkansas has the best offense and the best defense in the country.
Yeah, that's position player group.
Yeah, and
that's strong.
And they have Kevin Copps. And so those things can mask a lot of deficiencies. But anyway, ultimately, we talked about this earlier. I want a team that, you know, can ride those horses in the postseason. Thomas Farr, Brandon Jordan, Will Sanders. And then there are really good bullpen guys as well, led by Brett Carey, who's, you know, as much as hype as I think, and deservedly so, is Kevin Copps is getting and Landon Sims is getting in the SEC. Brett Carey is right there with them, having an insanely good year.
He is really good.
Yeah, he is really good. And it's you know, I've always kind of thought of him in the past as more of a pitchability guy. But, I mean, it was up to 94, and he can miss bats with a hard cutter and a slider. And it's just like, guy's good. So I think South Carolina is flawed offensively and defensively. But they do have power. And their pitching, I think, is real. So, but Ole Miss has lost 4 straight series. And we don't know if they're going to have Gunnar Hoglund this weekend. I'm not expecting them to, just reading the tea leaves. I tried to see if there's any news on that, and I didn't find anything. But, you know, can they win that series without Hoglund when they really need it after losing 4 in a row? It's a kind of a gut check for those guys.
Yeah, gosh, 5 series. As good as Ole Miss is, losing 5 series in a row just feels really uncomfortable.
That's bizarre. Yep. That's bizarre. Yeah. Aaron, are you going to go to see South Carolina against Mississippi State next week then?
Probably not, just I was just down there, and I've seen Mississippi State too, but that's another really good series, man. I mean, boy,
yeah,
it's like every week there's multiple marquee matchups in that conference.
Obviously.
No question. All right, boys, I'm going to give you 2 quick ones. So sure. Cal Poly goes to Santa Barbara. That just feels like a wine testing special. Like you just, yeah, it's, but
that's the movie Sideways right there. was filmed in those 2 areas,
and
San Luis Obispo.
That's right. I like it. So that's a cool series. And Santa Barbara is still hanging on. I mean, they still have a very interesting resume. And then how about the OVC? I'm not going to give you a series, but how about this for the OVC guys? There are 8 teams in the OVC, the Ohio Valley, within 3 games of each other. No. And only 4 teams are going to make it to their conference tournament because it's consolidated because of COVID, if I read that correctly today. So that is going to be a real, you know, food fight coming down the stretch for the OVC. So, you know, that I always think of that as a very cool baseball league, very offensive. They take a lot of pride in their baseball in the OVC.
You go. You know, it's kind of like the wrestling battle royale that you're going to see there in the OVC. So let's see who wears the tightest tights and the longest leggings. That's going to be fun.
Tights. Yeah. That is an important differentiator, the tightest of tights. Thank you. Stitch, number 5 for you, correct?
Well, number 5 is one we've kind of hinted at, and I know Arkansas fans are really going to love this. But I'm looking at the Fairfield-Siena series this weekend because Fairfield is one of the greatest stories in college baseball this year. And once again, they're playing a team that has an RPI that's way sky high up there. Again, we're not talking about RPI with the Mac. I know, Aaron. I didn't mean to bring it up in that sense. But the other thing is we've talked a lot about Fairfield here, and they deserve it. You know, at any team that goes out there and plays 26 games against teams that are relative, you know, especially like four or five of those teams in the MAC are relatively good and would be able to beat them. But to go out there 25 times and win 25 games, the baseball crazy gods have not cursed you yet. That's pretty incredible. And the other thing I'd point out, my stat is going to be the Fairfield Stags have an SID whose name is Ivy Spite. You can't beat that. Ivy's a great guy, and he helped me a lot this past weekend when I was out at Van Cortlandt Park in the island of Manhattan. There's a lot to like about that. Like I said, Arkansas fans, start commenting now.
Yes, your timeline. Hey, Stitch, well, first of all, give us your drink that is appropriate for watching a Fairfield Stag.
Oh, wait, game. Where did that go? I decided to take there had to be one drink that was going to be a little unique. So I went with, for those people out there who don't drink, the Shirley Temple. And for those who do drink, a Shirley Temple with a couple shots of vodka in it. So there you go. I cover everybody with that one.
Look at you, man of the people. Hey, what did you see my man John Signor pitch for Fairfield? Were you at his start?
Yeah, I was there.
Baby Bartolo.
I was trying to think of the nickname they have him.
Baby Bart.
It's true. He's Baby Bartolo. He's kind of a little of I'm not going to say rotund, a little roly poly, but he's really, I mean, he's got a speed ball that reaches the low 90s. Now, when I saw him, his ERA going in was just a little bit above one, but he kind of got hit around a little bit, but that's okay because the Fairfield offense, you know, took over. So I didn't see him at his best, but the one thing I took away from that is Manhattan's coach, Coach Cole from Manhattan. He is a former assistant under Bill Currier at Fairfield.
Oh,
and
cool.
He said, look, Fairfield, you can say what you want about them being good or bad, but they've got four guys in their starting rotation that throw three pitches for strikes. And that's what you really need in baseball, is a pitcher that can throw three pitches for strikes, including Baby Colon. But he also said that they're going to get back Mike McLaughlin in a couple of days, that he's going to pitch this weekend, just like, you know, spot duty, a couple innings. He's their ace that throws 93, 94. And I've been telling people, any radio show I've been going on, I'm like, look, they're probably not going to win a regional. They're probably not going to go to Omaha, but they're going to break somebody's heart this year. They're going to upset somebody in the postseason.
I like it.
Just because they have so much good pitching. I won't say, the only thing I'll say is their bullpen might be a little bit, you know, they don't really scare you, but their starting pitching, if they stay as good as they've been and they get their ace back to 100%, they're gonna soil somebody's record there in the postseason.
Hey, and four game weekends too. They probably have more depth than they would normally have.
That's true. Actually, a lot of those guys will be bullpen guys come, you know, regional time. So, yeah, they can be a little bit dangerous. I'm not saying that they're going to win a regional, like I said, but they're going to do some damage, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that.
And that's the point that I was going to just add on here is it's, you know, it's hard enough to go 25-0.
Yeah.
But to do it when you're playing four game weekends, I mean, yeah, you know, we always talk about how hard it is to win, to sweep any four game series, right? Like, mm-hmm, you know, even yeah, to win a four game series, to win three out of four against any one team is a challenge. To do that week after week, and plus they've had like, so I think they had at least one 6-game week. I mean, they're really grinding it out, trying to make up games after a late start. And boy, it's insane to me what they've done. I just think it's really cool.
And for, they also have three of the teams, three or four teams that are really close to being on par with them, and yet they still haven't cracked the rug in a single game yet. And so, yeah, like you're saying, Aaron, that's really tough to do, to win four game weekends against teams that are very familiar against you.
Yeah.
I like it. Fitzy, what are you going with for number five?
So I'm going to wrap it up here with Texas Tech at Texas.
Oh, yes. Love that.
Yeah. Big series of the Big 12. And hey, you know, Texas Tech's struggling, guys. I mean, and that's to be expected after all the injuries they've had. I mean, frankly, they did a pretty good job holding it together. They won a series the week before this past weekend at West Virginia. And then they'd won a series against TCU. But then, you know, you lose two out of three at home to Baylor, and you kind of get blown out in two of those losses. And it's all right, like, how long can they keep this thing together, you know, losing guy after guy? I mean, it's not easy. And you feel like Timmy Tadds is going to, he's going to pull some lever like Palmieri does and like find somebody who's just like the 34th man on the roster. And he's going to become a star because it seems like Texas Tech does that every year, just like LSU does. But they need to, you know, they need to figure it out pretty quickly here, especially if they want to host, because we've got 2 weeks left before hosts are announced. They're 8-7 in the league. They're 4 games out of first place. I still think if they can win this series at Texas, they're right back in the hosting deal. And they got, I think, UIC for 4 games next week, Illinois, Chicago. But this is a tall task. You know, Texas has played very well. They really haven't shown any kind of cracks since that first weekend when they were just getting their legs under them. Ever since then, I mean, boy, they've been really consistent and so impressed with that team. And I think that, you know, they play very well at home. Texas Tech plays in a much different kind of environment in Lubbock than they're going to see in Austin. Let's see how that translates here. So it should be a pretty fascinating series.
Yeah, that's a good one. The Big 12 has been fun. This is the top of that league is really cool this year. And that's that. Yeah, it's just I still can't shake my image of Texas from that first weekend. But they've played so well since then. And it's, I guess I just keep waiting for Texas to stumble and they keep not doing it. It's just really incredible.
They're going to love you down there, Runes. But the other thing also is it seems like, you know, kind of like with Northeastern, Texas, always good pitching, always good defense. And they got some hitting this year too. That's kind of helping them out and going up against the MASH unit that Texas Tech has become. God, you feel so bad for those guys, but yeah, it's gonna be a tough series for Tech. Let's see how it turns out for them.
Yeah, no question. All right, boys, I'm gonna give you a couple quick ones. South Al is having a great year in the Sun Belt. They're going to Georgia Southern, who's also having a good year. That'll be tricky. Yep. UNO and McNeese State. McNeese State was an early favorite in the Southland. This is a really big series for them because basically Southeastern and UNO, New Orleans are kind of starting to run away a little bit.
I believe it's McNeese, Runes. McNeese. Oh, sorry,
did I say McNeese?
Yeah.
Gosh, what a Yankee. Come on. tuck in your Yankee, Coach Rooney. Let's go. How about, and I'll give you another one. Like, I'm just a sucker for the Big West. Long Beach State's going to Irvine. And, you know, Irvine's having a great season. I really believe in Irvine. I believe Irvine is going to be a real issue for somebody in the postseason. They pitch. They're well coached. There's something about that team. But Long Beach is a problem. You know, like, they're just good, but their record's not good.
Yeah.
So the Long Beach is just like they're like this heartbreaker in the Big West. So yeah, should be fun, gentlemen. Week 11, let's go. We made it to week 11 and we're just cruising. Let's go.
Yeah, going back just a bit on that though, Mike. Long Beach, yeah, they're at 500 and they're only playing conference games. They're kind of like, you know, the anomaly killer out there. So it's going to be tough unless they win the conference. I just don't know that they get into the NCAA tournament, obviously. So it's going to be really tough. I can see like Irvine and Santa Barbara being the two teams from that conference, but you got to just figure it's another one of those stories that you're bummed out that 2020 happened because Long Beach was looking so badass last year, beating Mississippi State 2 out of 3, sweeping Wake Forest, you know, beating Cal 2 out of 3. They were so good, but it's such a drag that it doesn't look like it's going to happen for them here. We'll see if it turns around this weekend, but they're a good team that's you know, kind of getting the short shrift with their rankings.
Yeah, and as we've talked about, not having any fall at all, not even being able to get there as a team until what? I mean, the end of February or March was the first time they even got together as a team. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to expect them to have a good year after all that. And you're right, Eric. It's just a real shame because they had something special last year. You know,
right? Yeah, they were something, man.
Yeah, crazy. Look at our guy, Ben Upton. He's a religious guy. The 11.7 guy's doing some damage.
Yeah, good show, boys. All right. Hey, when are you going to have me back on your 11.7 podcast? I sent you a check in the mail, Stitch. Thank you.
The FCC put him on probation for that episode, Stitch.
Just because I showed up naked. Come on.
That's good. Who knew? Who knew it was cameras on?
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, gosh. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure. Appreciate it. And have a great weekend, everybody.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Runes. Thanks for sharing your airwaves. And Aaron, always good to see you. I hope you get to traveling again sometime soon. I've got inoculated, so I'm good now, man.
Atta boy, Stitch. Go get them.
Let's go. All right, boys. Have a good one. We'll see you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
See ya.